But this is what would be the membership process, joining the church. Little different probably than what you've experienced before, maybe in your church times in the past. We're not trying to sign you up just to count more numbers on our roster. What we actually believe membership is all about is us getting to team up together and make a difference together. You've got giftings that you have obviously brought to the Lord and that we get to partner together. And we're very excited to join with you in this team partnership effort. And you're going to find that we really do enjoy the journey and we do care about making a difference in people's lives. And so we're going to do that in a moment. And so here's what I would love to do. We're going to take just a second. And I would love to ask everybody in this room to, let me preface this. I guess I should say, you don't have to get up and tell me your name and tell me everything about you. It's not even thing, nothing like that. I didn't want anybody to sprint out the door. If this is one of those, we're going to take just a moment and just walk around amongst yourself and introduce yourself. You know, whatever level of comfort, right? If you're not yet hugging yet and you're not yet handshaking yet, that's cool. We're going to respect everybody's space. Some people never stopped hugging last year, and that's fine too. Whatever your thing is right now, we respect wherever you're at. But introduce yourself. Get to know your teammates here. We're going to do class tonight, and then, of course, you'll come back to the next class next week, and you get to do class together. So you definitely want to know your classmates. So go ahead and stand up. Introduce yourselves around. This is a good chance to meet some of your new best friends, and so super glad you're here. Take that. Okay. Thank you. All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you for being so friendly. I like that. You can go ahead and head back to your seats. Welcome. Dude, thank you, my friend. Glad you're here. All right, you bunch of friendly people. You're amazing. Just head on back to your seats. If you haven't turned in one of these yet, you can give that to me. I'll take care of that. Some of you I know turned it in way before you got here, and that's totally fine. I know some of you turned them in at guest services, but I'll take care of them if you got them. Again, very glad you all are here. Did I miss anybody on the manuals? Anybody need a manual? I think we're good. Tommy, I know you got that application. I can get you in a minute. Okay, so again, this is session number one of Step into Joy. I welcome you. If you were here just a moment ago, this is our youth auditorium. My wife and I have been the youth pastors here for 18 years. That's the entire time of the church. We've been accused of having gone insane years ago because that's apparently what it takes to be youth pastors more than 5 minutes. But we love it. Man, we love it. This is where we feel at home. Give me 100 teenagers. I feel at home. My wife and I run toward that. Of course, give me five-year-olds and I'm going insane. I don't know what to do there. Give me some medication. I'll survive the time. I don't understand that age other than I can probably play, but you give me some teenagers, and we've given our lives to teens. This is our great privilege, and so you are in the youth auditorium. You can tell the church really does value kids, youth, young adults. We're building our coffee shop. Let me not undervalue what's happening. I'm a coffee snob, not like foo-foo drink coffee snob. I mean like freshly roasted beans and weighing coffee with a scale and timing. Oh, I'm just a just a nerd when it comes to that stuff. And so we had already had plenty of experience with coffee. And so the idea of building an actual coffee shop, doing it right to serve a generation was like, go, oh, you're talking my language. I'm volunteering, happy to give my nerd experience. And so several of us on staff are coffee nerds, which there's just no real point to that other than I'm talking about the coffee shop. I don't know if you saw, we did get to knock the house down. Did you guys see that? Did anybody actually get to see it live when it happened or see a video of it? Oh, it was incredible. We waited 6 months for this. Just we heard that's where it's going to be. And then we just, oh, okay, great. What day is it going to happen? We just wanted to get to see it. Not that the house was, you know, a bit nostalgic. It was on the property. The house was like built in the 30s or 40s. It was the gentleman that owned the property. We bought this and were very grateful to have had it, but the house just really couldn't serve a purpose. It had just kind of lived its life. You know, there's not a lot we could have done with it. And so to know that we get to tear it down, build it, but to have gotten to see it knocked down. I was a little kid. They had this big thing, big track. I don't even know what to call it, but they got out there and he just knocked it down. And it was down in like, I don't know, 20 minutes. Yeah, I don't even get how that works. And they wouldn't let me drive the machine. Borderline offended, but Pastor Jim taught me to shut the front door. And so I'm good. I moved on, but it was cool. But that's what we're doing. We really care about people of all ages, our little kids, our teenagers, our young adults, and every other age group. You are so important to us because you're important to God. And so when we're going to talk about membership, here's the big thing. We're going to approach the two different sides of membership. The first one being, we still want you to be ministered to and grow with God. This isn't a substitute for your growth and walk with God. We're not replacing that. We actually want you to continue to grow with God, to draw close to God. But now in the process of that, what we're doing is we're joining up, which means we actually become stronger, more effective together, which means our reach to reach more people, our ability to more effectively serve people, it just increases. That's what this is going to be. Then, of course, we'll talk about specific areas where you can be involved in, and just a prelim to all of that, we're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. You know, if you're like me with little kids, we're not putting you in kids ministry. Don't worry. We don't want you to scar kids for life, and we don't want you to be scarred, right? We want you to want to do. We'll get into all of that. There's stuff you've been gifted for, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. So what we're going to do, everybody should have their membership manual right here. We're going to go through this just session one. Don't worry. I'm not going to read everything verbatim. Have you ever been through a class back in the day or through your college days and the professor just thought the best way to use his teaching time was to literally read it? Like, I can do that on my own time. Just explain it, you know, just kind of hit the highlights and explain it and help me know what to do with it. That's why we're paying, you know, I can read on my own. So I'm not going to read everything. But we are going to cover the highlights here. So we're going to go through. So you all have the most updated manual. You got the good stuff. I have got one of the originals. And so if I quote a page number that's not exactly right, please just go with the page number on your sheet there. But we'll walk through this together. On page one, you should have your letter. This is a letter from Pastor Jim. And why we just highlight this is because we want you to always remember the value that God has on you as an individual and the value that we have on you as an individual. We're going to be serving together. We're going to work. You know, we're going to put time in to serve people, but we don't want to lose sight as to why. You know, sacrifice alone, well, it can be draining. But if you understand why we're doing what we're doing, it's actually energizing. You can almost forget about the sacrificial part or the work part or showing up a little bit early for something to just be able to look a kid or a teen or an adult in the eye knowing God used me and used you to make a difference. So rewarding. And so you can read through this letter at some point. I do want to highlight one part here. Almost halfway down the page, there's a little part that says, at Joy Church, we are blessed to be blessed. We're served to be a servant, loved to be a lover, and filled up so we can give out. As the Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. Of course, those are the words of Jesus. But what we really want to do is just take on that mindset. We get to work together. We get to serve people. But there's a reason why. You know, behind all of our stages, behind our youth stage, there's a place back there where we gather to pray. And there's something posted. And behind the main auditorium where we walk out of the side every weekend when I'm coming out to do my announcements, there's a sign that's posted there. And it says this: it's a privilege to be on this stage. Thank you, God, for choosing me. Regardless of what it is we're doing, that we don't want to lose sight of the why. If I step out there, it may be me in the moment, but I would be just as fine. Put me on a back row. Let me do something nobody sees. You know, exposure, there's so much that comes with that. But all of it, regardless of what it is, all of it has the same goal: to glorify God, to serve people. And so that's what we want to do. We want to take on that kind of mindset. It's a privilege to get to do whatever we do. And so here we go. We're about to start turning some pages. And for all of you who like progress, tangible progress, it's about to happen. So turn the page. You can even include sound effects if you need to, like, you know, that's satisfying, like we're making progress. Page two, to even increase the progress feel, we won't even spend any time on table of contents. How's that? Page three, we'll go step into joy, steps to joining the joy team. This is, number one, to fill out and turn in your membership application. That's what we were talking about earlier. If for some reason you haven't given that to me yet, you can give it to me later. I know some of you turned it in well before you got here. That's cool too. But just if you can, before you get out of here, make sure I've got that. Second is to attend all the Joy School classes next Sunday night. Right, Hyman, do we have the time up there for the next session? It's a session is next week, next Sunday night from 6 to 7:30. And you'll be right back here in this one. You're going to get Pastor Dave, our executive pastor. He was my dean of men in Bible school 25 years ago. He's been with the ministry longer than I have. My wife and I actually met in Bible school. Huge reason to go to Bible school. Not the most important reason. But anyway, that's beside the point. I was very thankful to have met my wife there. We just celebrated, next month, December 9th, will be 21 years for us. But we met at Pastor Tim's Bible school. And, you know, obviously God's Bible school, but with what he did through Pastor Jim and Miss Ann and the Goldners, very special place. But we got to see all of this happening, but on such a small scale. There were 16 other students in my class, but I saw the same thing that you probably saw when you came in. There's something about what's being taught. That's the Bible. There's a bunch of love here. There's a whole lot of integrity. We saw that 25 years ago and wanted to be a part of it. And so that's where our journey began. But attending the Joy School, that's why I was bringing that up to brag on Pastor Dave. He will be your teacher next week. And then jump down here, conditions to joining the Joy Team. Number one, you must be born again and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's why we put that in there. John chapter 3 and verse 3, it's kind of an interesting conversation Jesus has with somebody listed as a teacher of the law. When you read the third chapter of John, you're going to find that Jesus was talking to a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, but Nicodemus obviously knew about the coming Messiah. He could have recited the scriptures all throughout the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 being a big one, but there's a lot of passages all throughout the Old Testament that every teacher of the law would have known. Well, then here comes this guy named Jesus, and then all of these teachers of the law are kind of speculating, like, could this be the Messiah? But nobody is gutsy enough to go ask him because they're afraid about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, what would happen if they actually decide this is it. But Nicodemus at least had some courage to sneak out at night. You know, he sneaks up to Jesus. He's going to have this conversation at night because he's curious. But now think of the context. He's a teacher of the law. He knows about the coming Messiah. He's got all the scriptures memorized. But he doesn't recognize him when he shows up. And so Jesus, in his conversation, doesn't approach Nicodemus with, how moral are you? How good are you doing, Nicodemus? He basically says this: you must be born again. I mean, that term right there, didn't originate in the 60s. You know, I just read a biography not too long ago about during the 60s and the Jesus movement and revival. And in one interview, one of the guys who was pretty involved in Watergate, and then he eventually gets born again and starts a ministry. Well, he wrote a book and then was quoted on the term born again. And in many circles, it was accepted as a positive thing, but in a lot of media coverage, it was then given a derogatory feel, but then it's kind of been tossed around, and then a lot of people have forgotten where it came from. Well, Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. And so what does born again mean? It means that every human starts the same way. We're born and we have sin nature. There's just no way around it. Even in society where we are right now, to simply redefine right and wrong, to not have to deal with the conscience, doesn't eliminate the need to be born again because we're sinners by nature. But then to think about how beautiful our God is, to not just leave us like that, but to show up in person, which is why Jesus had to come. The only one who could 100% represent God, but then also 100% represent mankind. And then if you understand, then this is why he had to be born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary, because now he is representing God through the Holy Spirit, representing mankind through Mary. This is all so divinely orchestrated. And then when you understand these pieces here, Jesus operating is 100% God, 100% man. When he goes to the cross, he's the only one qualified now to be the sacrificial lamb as the covenant one, to represent a covenant between God and mankind. He's the solution. So when you get born again, the life of God through the Holy Spirit enters mankind and makes us alive. And then when you study Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 5, it actually says, and then God declares you righteous. Let that sink in for a minute, because it's typically a completely different definition than what the normal Christian carries around in their thinking as far as our standing with God. Righteousness meaning I've not done enough, which is probably what Nicodemus thought. You know the law, you know the word, you're probably never going to feel like you did enough. But when you got born again, you became a child of God, and he wanted you, and then declared you righteous, not because you did right enough, but you were given what's called the gift of righteousness, made right with him. See, now why we bring this up is because if you read through the membership application, there's a question in there about when did you make Jesus your Lord and Savior? When did you get born again? I forget how it's worded, but we've had enough people ask questions about that. Many people have been in church their whole life and don't know. Like, what happens when I die? I mean, I think, am I going? You know, there's so much uncertainty that we want to remove uncertainty because the Bible wants you to live with security. You think about it purely from an investment standpoint. If somebody's going to make an investment, they're probably going to do the calculations ahead of time to see what's the risk factor. And then once they pour it in, they're going to monitor that investment. They're going to stick with it. They're going to work after it. I mean, imagine just for a second, think about how much God has done from the moment he initiated the plan of redemption for Jesus to show up, to live his 30-some years here on this earth, to die on a cross, to be raised from the dead, and then 2,000 years later, he's still pursuing us. That's a lot of investment, which is why you need to know when it comes to you, God is all in redeeming you, but then also working with you. That's why you need to know when you get born again, this is not some little thing to where now, I guess I was a bad person, I'm going to try and be good now. That's a good suggestion. If you've turned on the news lately, I'd recommend some trying to do good more than doing bad. But it's so much more than that. The worst of people, like me and whoever else, you get born again, you are made right with God. See, now if you know that going into membership, now we get to serve God out of already been made right with God. Now we get to do whatever I want to. I get to serve God because he loves me and I'm right with him. Now, passion can be a part of this, doing it from a heart level. So when we bring our teenagers in here, I've been doing this for 18 years. We don't start with looking at teens, even if their parents give me a heads up, this kid's the most rebellious kid I've ever seen in my entire life. Can you fix him? It's like, well, probably not. okay? Because I'm not a miracle worker, but I can do this, bring them in here. I don't talk to them ever about their rebellion, at least in the first conversations. Find out what they love to do, and then I start telling them how much God loves them right now in your current state. God loves you. He will never give up on you. And right now, you may not want anything to do with him, but he can't wait for you to change your mind. We'll start telling them like that. And over time, I have seen some of the worst claiming to be atheists, angry, rebellious. Their hearts start to melt. And then see them turn to become some of our strongest leaders in youth ministry. We've got a young man out here. He's just serving during the, we have our monthly prayer. Out there serving, he works with kids. We did his wedding about a year ago. When he came in years ago in seventh grade, he was angry. Angry when his biological dad left. This kid was fighting in school, just mad. We didn't tell him how bad he was for fighting all the time. We just kept looking him in the eyes and goes, I bet you don't know how valuable you still are. God sees the value that he was willing to die for. Well, over time, we just saw him little by little, they start to melt. Surrender to God. He is so fired up for God now. I'm not telling his name because I don't want to tell his business, but he tells it openly. To see him now, you're never going to see him not smile. But that's not where he began. That's why we need you to know this, the way God sees you. Now let's take it even to a next step. We all have heard probably what the Great Commission is, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. I'm summarizing, but at the end of Matthew 28 and the end of Mark 16. But doesn't it make sense now probably why the normal everyday believer isn't motivated to go share the good news? Because maybe we just don't know how good it is yet. See, when I know that I'm right with God because of accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and fully aware of how horrible I was and what I did deserve, but Jesus taking the blame, punishment for that, and then me receiving not just mercy, but God forgiving me after the act of justice, which was executed on Jesus, mercy and truth. Man, now I want people to know that. That's why I tell these youth, man, you think that you don't want anything to do with God? Let me tell you what's going on. You don't know him. It's that simple. Every person out there that claims they don't want any Christianity, you've not tasted Christianity. You had a bad taste of religion, but you need to come on back and get introduced to Jesus. This is the game changer. This is where it is. That's why we want you to know. And so if you have any questions about what it means to be born again, please come talk to us. You need to know from God's point of view the security he wants you to have as an individual after you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior. So second is we want you to have a desire to be actively pursuing growing in that relationship with Jesus. I introed with, we want you to be able to not substitute your walk with God for now serving. We want you to be able to continue to grow. We want you to draw closer to God. We want in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. We've got members here that were here on day one. It's amazing to me. People who just came in and they're like, hey, we heard you're starting a church. Day one, day two, second session. Some of them are still here, plugged in. We want for years down the road for us to be able to serve you and you grow with God. But then what we want too is that we are still growing while also serving. We want to do both hand in hand. And so we'll talk more about that as we go. You can flip the page there. Next is we're just taking a look at what we call our motto, where you always leave lifted. All right, we don't want, this isn't one of those cute little phrases that kind of, you know, make somebody feel a little bit better in the midst of their horrible life, you know? That's like adding whipped cream on what your dog just did out back. It's still the same pile of stuff. You can't change it. That's not the point here of where you're just trying to make somebody feel a little bit better. What we're doing is taking the Bible mandate to encourage. You can breathe hope and encouragement into somebody's soul. Now, Joy Church is always going to continue to bring encouragement through the Word of God, but as members, we get to do this together. Man, it's so much more fun when we hear stories from people and we'll hear newcomers come in. It's the best phrase that I think we get to hear. It's, so many people greeted me that didn't have the name badge on. Oh man, that's the best. Because you know, you see somebody with a name badge, they've been instructed in a meeting, get out there, find the new people, shake their hands, make them feel good. You know, that's good, that needs to happen. That's actually a system toward making people feel welcome. It's intentional and we do that. But to see the church culture, when people take the time that weren't on assignment that day to go greet people, it makes a difference. See, if you trace it out though, our 5 minutes one-on-one with somebody, hey, I'm glad you're here. I see you're by yourself. You want to sit with me and my family. We don't want you to be by yourself. Well, we know stories to where months later, that original 5 minutes was the difference maker. Somebody made them feel like they're wanted here. And now it's like, man, I think I might go back to that place. Was the goal to just get them back? Not by itself. The goal is discipleship. But we can't disciple people who aren't here. And often it begins with just that little bit of welcoming and greeting where people leave lifted. We want to breathe hope, but as members, we do that together. Of course, mission statement to fulfill the great commandment and to fulfill the great commission. We've talked about the great commission a little bit, but the great commandment is this, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The words of Jesus from Mark chapter 12. But if you understand that that is God's heart for you first. You ever read 1 John chapter 4, the entire chapter, you get down to verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. And so if we're really gonna love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you want your love for God to grow, spend some time studying, reading, believing that God loves you with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you'll take a season of time like that, you'll find your love for God will just grow and grow and grow. But here's the other really cool thing you'll notice is desires begin to change. You'll find that your desire to want to do the things of God, want to do the Bible, want to surrender areas of our life, you actually find spending time in how much God loves you as you study the scripture will begin to affect those desires. And so that's why you want to love God more? Spend some time in how much he loves you. Read the scriptures on him. Listen to the teachings on them. You will find 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever, it will radically change your life because that kind of love is always directed at you and will never be interrupted. But until you get to see it for yourself, it doesn't necessarily affect you. Like you can imagine the sun beaming down at any point of the day. But if you take a magnifying glass, you can concentrate its power and heat on one particular area. That's why we would recommend spend some time studying how much God loves you through the scriptures, because it's like you're taking all of that beauty and the power of his love and aiming it through a magnifying glass on you and the core of who you are. It will change your life. I highly recommend it. Turn the page there. These are all freebies, though, by the way. This is we're doing membership, but I'm throwing in a bunch of stuff in the process, because you're in the youth room. Man, I spend my life encouraging people in here. I can't stop. It's just pouring out. Anyway, page, I believe, 6, if we're on tracking along together, our church vision. You probably heard Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where without vision, my people perish. You know, the church has vision. We're heading in a direction. We believe God has put these before us to walk out. And so we want to encourage individuals. This is our vision. This is, we filter what we do with this right here. Encourage individuals to strengthen the family. We want to rebuild. We want to strengthen marriages. We want to strengthen relationship between parents and kids. We want to see reconciliation between relationships that are strained. Number 3 is we want to develop servant leadership ministry. We want to pour into your God-given influence. We don't just mean so that we simply become like over-the-top awesome leaders in and of itself. What we mean is to invest in leadership, influence. When it comes to your work, you know, you're going to have roles that you're responsible for. And when we understand the power of the scripture to lead. If you're parenting, you're a leader. If you're interacting with people at the supermarket, you're still influencing. The more efficient we get at influencing others, and again, let me be super clear. I'm not talking about some of the other thoughts to where influence in order to manipulate. I don't mean anything like that at all. Biblically speaking, Romans chapter 12 talks about our love should be sincere, sincere without hypocrisy. I mean doing everything with influence. But for instance, if I can grow in my leadership, meaning let's just say when I begin as a youth pastor, I could influence and lead 3 teens to Jesus. What an honor. But if I can get better and eventually get better at leading teams and we could reach 1,000 teens for Jesus, man, I'm all in. If it means me increase my capacity, me change, me grow, I want to grow. And so that's where we want to invest in us growing. Man, this is a fun process. Let me say it like this. God can use you way more than you can even see yourself being used right now. Part of it is what he's already created you for, but the other part of it is us growing. Growing in our Christ-likeness and our capacity. And so that's why we invest in that. The first Wednesday of every month, of course, there's other times where you can grow in leadership. For now, I'm just highlighting that. Of course, serve the community. We love to get out and serve the community. We're doing this as many times as possible. Many ways you can do that. You can be listening throughout the year to where we take our mobile kitchen and go serve. We'll do different events. We're going to serve our veterans this coming Saturday. What an honor to serve people who have sacrificed so much. We're going to serve our veterans. We're feeding them just lots of food. I think Friday I got to hear where from. I'm excited. I get to eat. You know, I'm really good at that. That's a hobby of mine that I've spent time developing through the years. But we get to serve veterans. I'm going to open up the landing, play games. Love to get in there with a war veteran and just race him on NASCAR. How fun is that? Man, that's some fun stuff. But it's all about, we want to give you a time where you can enjoy life because there's people that care about your sacrifice. Man, we're honored to get to do that. That's coming up, but we do so many different things. Be listening for times where you can sign up. Of course, we love to reach people internationally. We have many missions organizations that we get to support. We also have many that are based right here. They're not our ministry, but they have ministry organizations throughout the world, but they live here local and they come here. Some of them are ordained through Joy Church. And so we love that. Every time you tithe or give toward this church, you're helping support missions work in Honduras, Jamaica, Brazil, Romania. There's so many more. But we've got one lady, check this out. She's in her 80s, and she doesn't mind if you know. And she does missions trips as a medical missionary. She went to medical school at 60 years old and said, God, I'm ready, use me. And so now in her 80s, she goes on medical missions. She does the medical stuff and then tells every one of them about Jesus. She came on a missions trip with us one time. We took her to Jamaica where we've been working for a while. And I could not keep up with her. I'm in good shape. I'm in really good shape. I take care of myself. I love fitness. It's a hobby of mine, which is kind of a funny hobby to probably offset my hobby of eating. But I'm in good shape. I can go. I can get out there. I can stay at it. She wore me out. I'd want to sit down, and she kept finding people. And if I'm ministering to somebody or somebody else, and it's like, this isn't going well, here was the common statement. Send them to Gwen. Because if we can't get through, send them to the deadly but unassuming grandma, because she's going to sit down and she could talk to him, smile, and people go, I want Jesus. She's amazing. But we do all kinds of stuff. We support her because she's going anyway. She goes to places in areas to where up in the mountains, they still sacrifice children to idols. She's gone on missions teams and just walks right up in the middle of all of that, starts telling them about Jesus. That's some bold, crazy awesomeness that I look up to her. But every time you tithe and give, you're part of that. You're part of making that happen. We've been working with a church in Jamaica, Montego Bay, or right outside of Montego Bay for over 25 years. I personally have gotten to go about 13 times, and it's like going home. And we don't just hang out on a resort. I've been to Jamaica so many times and have never vacationed there. But it's like going home. We go there, we've seen little kids grow up into adults. We've known people in Jamaica. It is like going to see family. But we go to minister and serve the community and then help get them connected to the church so the church there can disciple them. What a privilege. We've been doing that. We've not been able to go the last couple of years because of different COVID restrictions. We hope to get back soon. But if you're interested, be on listening for that. Let's keep moving here. Our vision for each individual. I'll let you read that on your own time just for time's sake. Our church priorities. These are teaching the word of God. That's the number one. Paul, the apostle Paul, as he was continuing to mentor Timothy, who Timothy would have been, say, like a spiritual son to him. Timothy would have traveled and been traveled with and mentored by the mighty apostle Paul. And so when you see Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or through the book of Acts, you're going to see a name, Timothy. But Timothy, this is Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, writing directly to Timothy. But of course, we understand that he is also writing to all of believers. But specifically, he's telling Timothy, who likely was a pastor at the time of this writing. And what history tells us, certain portions of church history, it's likely that his congregation size could have been somewhere around 30,000 people, give or take, you know, even if I'm a few thousand off, which is likely the case, that's still a lot of people for this young man. And so Paul was telling him, you need to be instant in season and out of season, you preach the word. Meaning no matter what times are changing, you stick with the word. The word of God, Acts 20 and verse 32, is able to build people up. We don't move away from the word. I thank God that Pastor Jim has continued to prioritize the teaching of the word of God. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, you'll continue in my word and you will know the truth. And that truth will make you free. That's why we want people to be continually exposed and taught the word of God, because the word of God doesn't lead people into bondage like some knuckleheads, is that a safe way to say it in a church setting? Some knuckleheads out there have tried to say age-old tradition or it's bondage. No, Jesus got it right because he is the word. To truly walk through the pages of the word and to see it through the perspective of God will actually lead you down a path of truth that leads you down a path of freedom, which to know that the world is pursuing freedom, but in their freedom and pushing everything off, finding actual bondage, Jesus is wanting to deliver us. And so the word of God, that's why we're going to teach the word. Every single weekend, when it comes to youth in here, it was a big movement about 20 years ago in the youth world that in order to get youth off the streets and doing bad things, just make it super fun and just create awesome fun. Which I get the mindset, I get the ideology behind that. But what happened was many places moved away from actually teaching them the Bible. And so through their high school years, they kept them off the streets. But when they got into college, they had no foundation and they went crazy. And that trend has continued. We believe we need to have fun. We're going to have fun with these youth. We love these youth. In fact, right now, out here at the Cove, we have a simultaneous youth event going on. My youth adult leadership team and our student team is hosting the first part of an event for us right now. They're eating pizza like a good youth ministry does. And they're playing cornhole and goofing off and having a blast. But here in about 20 minutes, they're going to switch over with the acoustic set of worship and lead worship. And then I'm going to go teach a Bible study to the students, and then we break it down into some discussion groups. We're going to combine both. You can do both. We're going to have a blast. Man, our cornhole tournaments are fun. We have a blast, but I care about these youth way too much to rob them of being discipled. I want these youth to be better than I could ever be. That's why I'm going to take what we've learned and get it to them quicker than I learned it so that they can grow now. That's true freedom. And so that's why the teaching of the word, that's why we do that. Second thing is prayer. Joy Church puts a big emphasis on prayer. You know, we've done this 18 years, but I can tell you in this season of life and ministry, I don't want to coast. Like, I don't want to just do stuff. There's stuff we've done that we could do in our sleep. We've programmed, if you saw our notebooks of teaching lessons, our sermons, to use kind of a nerdy church word, sermons, you know, outlines, whatever you want to call them. We have so many, we wouldn't have to write another sermon for 3 years. At least, I mean, easy. We could probably, maybe 5 years. But no way in the world would we do that. We're never going to show up to a teaching time and go, oh yeah, I think I remember that verse. We're going to take our time. We're going to prepare because we want it to be fresh. We want people to have the fresh word of God, but we take time to pray and seek God. That's why at the beginning of every month, we just finished about an hour of prayer with whoever wants to come. And if you ever want to join us, don't feel any pressure. When you walk in for the first time, really excited, you're not going to get called on like, okay, we need you to intercede for 5 straight minutes over such and such. It would scare people. You know, we want people to kind of just come in and start where they are. But it's beautiful, I promise. Even if that intimidates you like it did me when I first heard about come to a prayer meeting, no, because I would have to pray out loud and that freaks me out. I would encourage you to come anyway because you won't get called on like that. You'll be involved in a prayer atmosphere and around people praying and there's some a time of worship. It is beautiful. Man, it's special. But then what we do every day, every work day, Monday through Friday, we're in here. And the staff team, we take between 15 to 25 minutes every single day, Monday through Friday. And we pray before we get started on the rest of our workday. Not because we feel like, we're supposed to do that in ministry. It's because we need everything that God is doing, a full dependency on God. Now, God is in us. We get that. God is already present with us. Absolutely. But we're taking our stand on the word of God, seeking God, lead us God. We prioritize that. That is so important to us. And we want to invite you to be in on praying for things as well. That's why as part of the packet we're going to give you, you come up here afterward and grab one of these packets. There's a prayer sheet in there that we want to invite you to take with you. And just throughout the week, take some time to pray over these things. We want to invite you as members to join with us in praying. We'll get those to you at the very end right there. The next one is 3. This is fellowship. This is where we really want meaningful relationships to be able to take place. Now, we're not going to force people to find their best friend. That's going to happen as we get connected. And as you join the church, you'll be joining a group and you'll serve. And so you'll naturally find friends within your serving group. But then we also have our fellowship groups. Our fellowship groups, what we call our joy groups, Pastor Eric Garcia, who has also been nicknamed the party pastor because he hosts these events. Man, we're doing stuff all the time. But when you think like a member when it comes to these events, here's would be a good thought. Maybe you like bowling. Maybe you're terrible at it like most of us who go to these things. There's always like one guy who's super awesome. And you know that ahead of time because he brings his own bowling ball and shoes. Like, I want him on my team or I don't even want to play. The rest of us, we're just trying not to kill anybody and just enjoy the journey. But when it comes to that, the old mindset would be, well, I don't really like bowling, so I think I'm going to sit this one out. But I would say as a member, what if we thought like, hey, there's going to be new people there. Maybe I could show up to my age group and I could help the group leader make the other people feel welcome. Man, as a member, we realize we get to be a part of making things happen. And so in the process, you'll find that's one of the easiest ways to develop other relationships. There's other people that have very similar likes and interests just like you. And by taking the time to get connected in the serving groups and the fellowship groups, you'll be amazed at how God will set up these relationships. Remember, it'll take a little time. See, I am a natural-born introvert to the core. The men in my family, you could put us in a corner, leave us there for a week, come back, we're still there. Bible, French press coffee, If I get sports, then leave me for a month and I'm fine. I don't need human. I mean, like in my head as an introvert, like I had convinced myself I am fine without people. My sister, biological sister, born, she was born talking. And she's never shut up a day in her life. She's 40 years old, and her and my mom, they're just nonstop. Look, if you need somebody to carry the conversation, I will give you my mom or my sister's number. You know everything about me and everybody else on the planet. But I mean, they're extroverts. They're fine. They would come to these things in the middle of a crowd and be fine. Me, it used to take me a whole lot of work because the idea of being around people used to scare me. But I realized I was thinking so much about me fitting in. And the more I learned about how much God loved me, the more I started thinking, you know what? I can actually help people. I would show up to start helping. I would serve. And then I started listening and asking questions like, how are you? What's going on in your world? Where are you from? Tell me what you love to do. And then I actually found as an introvert, I enjoyed getting to get to know people. And then what I realized over time, I wasn't on my mind anymore, which was the antidote for an introvert. It is a process that takes time, but I found my introverted insecurities started to melt away because when I'm asking questions and learning and serving, like me, I'm not even on my radar. It's fun. Now I love to show up and just serve and connect. And so if you're introverted like me, there is hope. If you are extroverted like my sister, I'm not sure there is hope. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. I'm just messing. If my sister was here, I would have loved to have said that right in front of her. I love my sister. But if you're extroverted, you are a blessing from God because you can make people feel so comfortable without even trying. Whatever your thing is, though, I'd say let's just don't limit ourselves to how we feel like our personality is. By getting involved and trusting God, you'll be amazed at the people you'll get to know. It may take a little time, but this is God's process to where you can get to know people if you'll trust him in the process. So, and then number four, evangelism. We love to do outreaches and serve, but this one specifically, we're talking about us working together to invest, invite, and include. What that means is simply this. We know that there are still so many people out here that are hurting, especially over the last 19 or 20 months. There's people who are hurting and they feel isolated and they don't know where to go. Many of them are battling the thoughts of, does God exist? Does God love me? And so we have a chance, people we work with in our neighborhoods, you don't have to go preachy on them, but we all can say, hey, look, I know you've been struggling. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And if you ever want to join me at church, we'd love to have you come sit with us. The goal isn't to grow the biggest church. They did some kind of thing 2 or 3 years ago and let us know. Whoever did the study of the churches in the surrounding area, they came and told us, hey, we've done all the numbers. Joy Church is the biggest church in Wilson County by far. But to us, I mean, that was humbling. We're honored. But we didn't take it as like, oh, cool, we've arrived. No, because there's so many more people. We're not trying to hit a number. We're not trying to brag about numbers. What we're thinking about is the individual person that's out there. And so we're investing and inviting and including because there's still people out there that are hurting. To think about some of our senior saints out there who don't have family in the area, they're widows, they've been trapped in their home, who's gonna care about them? And so I know that Pastor Eric and the team, they set up a ministry of people to where several people would take on some of our senior saints and just call on them. Hey, I know you can't get out. Can I go to the grocery for you? We're praying for you. Can I come over and do your lawn? Anything like that. Just something to do. I mean, that right there, it may not look maybe something like you're gonna brag about and get a billion likes on some kind of social media feed by bragging, but that's real ministry. And so we've got a chance to reach people. That's why we encourage all of us to invest and invite and include. And so real quick, we'll go through these remaining things. We've covered these pretty much as we go here. I'll just read through a couple of these. Joy Church core values. This is at the core of who we are. Developing a personal, vibrant, intimate relationship with God. Personal ministerial integrity. Biblically based and balanced teaching. Again, because we've talked about these already, We'll go through these a little bit quicker. Strengthen the entire family, developing the dreams, divine dreams, destiny, and potential of each individual, an atmosphere of affirmation, developing leaders, and we want to enjoy the journey. And then here's what our culture is like. It's really important to know that Joy Church, we have a culture that I would say we would call an intentional culture. This is who we are, and this is what we want to work together to continue to develop, is we are enjoying, like this is a big part of it, joy. You know, not just in emotional happiness. This is what James chapter 1 talks about, to count it or choose joy. It's meaning to rejoice in God and his promises, even if our circumstances are challenging. Because it goes on to say that that puts us in a position for God to actually take those tough challenges and turn them around. So to rejoice or joy, joy is a big, big part of what we do. Encouraging, we want to be an encouraging environment. We want to continue to be loving toward people. We're givers and we're difference makers. This is the culture we want to continue to both develop and then protect. You know, as we move ahead, it's becoming more and more important to intentionally walk out these Bible-related things. And we do them on purpose. But we want to invite all of us as part of the team to see these and imagine for a moment if we individually develop these in our own lives. Imagine your life with biblical joy. Psalm 43, where it talks about God being my exceeding joy and knowing that he never changes, that means I really can rejoice in God. Even if I'm emotionally struggling or there's challenges, the more I rejoice in God, the more you will find the power of praise, the garment of praise that says it will actually do away with the spirit of heaviness. And then encouraging, to be able to encourage somebody and see their eyes, you giving them hope. It's special. That's why we want to do that. For time's sake, though, we'll move on here. There's a section in here called What We Believe. This is having studied the scriptures. We've listed these out for you. You can take a look at those for time's sake. I'll let you read through those. If you have any questions about those, please come ask. But we encourage you to check those out. And then next, you should have the ministerial staff. I think that's our biography page, right? I think, is that how you say that? You can check those out. You can read about all, where did these people come from, right? We are not cyborgs or anything or avatars. We have history and we've been together a long time. You can check those out. And so I'll tell you what, for time's sake, watch it. This is the funnest part of using any manual. Ready? If we can time it together and then make the sound effect. Ready? Close the book like this and go. Man, y'all participated in more than most classes. Good job. Proud of you. You made it through class one. Can you give yourself a round of applause? Fantastic job. So awesome. So here's what we're going to give you right now. As we dismiss, make sure you come and grab one of these packets up here. This one you'll take one per person, or one packet per person. There's three sheets in there. And of the sheets, you're going to find the first one, of course, is the prayer sheet I told you about. The second one is going to be what we call the motivational gift survey. That's in here. This is different maybe than if you've ever taken one of those things where you get on the computer, you know, in business, and it's like you put your info in there, and all of a sudden, this program spits out information on who you are as if it knows you better than you. Have you ever done that? It's kind of weird. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that about me, but that is kind of true. That weirds me out. That is not what we're doing right here, okay? From Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul lists out seven different, what we're calling motivational gifts. But what these are is you're going to find some of these have already been active in your life. This is actually going to help you get to know you. And then it's going to help us get to know how you're motivated. For me, I remember as a six-year-old little boy, I remember this desire. I wanted to help people win. And so in my head, I could picture myself maybe being a football coach and giving these pep talks to encourage people. Well, I didn't know that was the beginning stages to prepare me for youth ministry, but that's right here in exhortation. That's encouragement. That's in me. I can't make it go away. It's in me. Well, then it turns out it's been in the Bible and God put it in me. And so as you read these descriptions, you're going to find God's wired you certain ways. Now, I would encourage, we can develop portions of these in all of our lives, even if it doesn't come natural. That's the beauty of growing with God, because the fruit of the Spirit are things we can develop, these character traits of God. We can develop those in our lives, even if that doesn't come naturally to us, like self-control or long-suffering, right? All of us in marriages, long-suffering is a good thing, right? A very short fuse versus a super long fuse. We recommend the super long fuse, the one that goes way out into somewhere else. The short fuse, that's got like a 3 second before an explosion. You know, we can develop fruit of the Spirit no matter what. Here, though, while we want to develop all of these, you're gonna invest in developing the different things that God has for us. You're gonna find that some of these are gonna already be naturally occurring in your life. And so, read the descriptions. Here's what we ask: when you take this, bring it back next week, having filled out your top 1, 2, 3, or 4. Unless we want to ask that you use the numbering system, because it's just easier for us when we're going back through it to know what you're saying. It's super easy. We've gotten some back where we're not sure if those are numbers or hieroglyphics or if what in the world is going on. And we just guess. We just take a good shot at guessing. But it's so much easier if we know 1, 2, and 3, how you're wired. It's so cool to get to know you. That's why, just fill that out, bring it out next week. And then the last sheet is this one here. This is the Serving the Lord with Joy sheet. This is where you get to get into all the different areas of ministry and take a look at. In the back of your manual that you've got, you're going to find a description of each of those areas. And so if you read on here about an area, you're like, man, that sounds cool. What is that? Look in the back of your manual, and it'll give you a greater description of what that is. Many of these areas, I'm telling you, these areas, you will find in here something that just matches your passion and gifting level. But you may also find an area that you're really passionate about. Maybe it is full right now. What we may do is come back and simply say, hey, look, that area is pretty full right now. Would you be interested in one of the other areas you filled out? We'll never make you do anything you don't want to do, for sure. We want to match your passion and gifting to the area in here. But we found if we can work together, then we'll continue to work towards getting people plugged in where you're eventually God wants you to be. It's a fun process. And so all we'll need to do is just ask that everybody be flexible. You know, for instance, we've got an incredible praise team, but it doesn't just start with somebody who's gifted. Oh, great, you're gifted and you got a music deal. Let's get you on the stage. You know, what we want and think the responsible thing to do is, you all are precious people. And we want somebody who's going to be up here to be a worshiper first before they show off their gift. And so before somebody gets up here, I mean, the hope is that they've been worshiping out here for a little bit. And then so that's why it's on an audition and just takes a little time. It's not at all like the old days of American Idol, okay? You're not going to sit in front of a panel and be berated by somebody like Simon Cowell and think I'm the most worthless human, ungifted thing that ever existed. Not like that at all. The heart behind it is, if you'll just work with us, if you're gifted in music, put it down, please. Write it down and let us know. And just know, out of responsibility to the Lord and the people we serve together, that it's a process, because exposure is a high level of responsibility. And we want the people that eventually end up here to have had time to grow. It would be irresponsible for us to put somebody who's simply gifted but haven't had a chance to develop yet. We'd be putting them in a losing position, and we can't do that. We care too much about people. And so as you read through those, if you have any questions about these, of course, we have got children's ministry that is incredible. If you are interested, you love kids, we are expanding kids' ministry. We have a live production team, and Chad, our multimedia director, told me that even if you've got minimal skill in like, pretty much everybody has operated a camera because we have phones, right? We've learned how to just scan something and edit something, but it's not even that. We have live production team, which involves some of the working of the cameras and stuff. And man, it's amazing what they can teach and train you in. But there's so many different things. Read through those. If you have any questions, let us know. But what we want to do is walk with you through this process and eventually help you settle into your place and just serve and have a blast with the rest of us as we make a difference for Jesus and we reach more people. Very excited to have you on the team. I'm going to pray for you. And then once we dismiss, come grab this, one of these packets. Make sure I've got your membership application. Make sure you sign in on the sign-in sheet if you didn't get that yet. And then we're done. It's my privilege to be with you. Let's pray. God, I pray over every one of these brand new members. Thank you, God, for our time together. Thank you in Jesus' name that you lead us through this process so that each one of them ends up in the exact spot that you have created them for. We're grateful for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Clash, you've been amazing. Have a great night.